I've been doing a series called Grow Up, and here's what it works. It really does work about just growing up in our faith, and we've been talking about worship and prayer, but today's mostly talking about, like, as a parent and as a leader, and how does that look raising up a generation. And so, but before we get to that, next week we start a new series called Favor. Everybody say Favor, 1, 2, 3. And here's what's cool about it. I believe in Scripture talks about that we can walk in this favor of the Lord. There is this openness that we can walk in. And how does that look? And how to walk in that? And how to walk in God's strength? And so we're going to talk about that through the month of November a little bit. And how to just live in that favor. But today is literally about, it's landing the plane of this Grow Up series. So if we could, once the basket passes you, if you can stand up this morning. And we always been open up with Scripture. And I believe it's really important. So today on the last day, I want us to read this out loud together. We've been reading this all week. And so I'll start us off. And I think it's important for us just to read this out loud. And so every week we've been going through a scripture verse. And I just want us to do it together. So I'll start us off all together. Ready? Therefore, overflowing with gratitude, being established in your faith. Being established. Think about that. Just being grown, just being deeper. And so it's interesting. Even as parents and growing up and even helping a generation, listen, may those who come behind us find us faithful. You know what I'm saying? May those who, like, as even as parents, child dedication today, we want the people that we're leading to find us faithful. We want as parents and as grandparents. And so today is about, like, how do we lead that? How do we lead that charge? One of the points this is going to be up on overhead is this: the parent's priority as a Christian is to gradually transfer a child's dependence away from them until it rests solely on God. It's interesting because we as people like to feel needed. Like, we want people to need us. But the same point, like, listen, there needs to be a point that we have our kids trust in the Lord. Amen? And so let's pray, and then we'll have Stacy come up. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for, Lord, all the things that you've been doing. We thank you for this moment, and Lord, we thank you for this series. As we land this plane today, we pray for every single, Lord, I pray you work in our hearts. I pray you do miracles within us, Lord. I just pray that, Lord, the stuff in our life that you're trying to change and trying to, Lord, recalibrate happens today. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Stacy, come on.
Good morning again, everyone. So like Jarvis said, I usually have the amazing privilege of teaching your kids. I love teaching them. I love seeing them connect with God. I love seeing them pray for their friends. When a new child volunteers to pray, it makes me so excited. Seeing them just get amazed at the Bible stories, I love it. But I also understand that I am not the primary spiritual role model in your child's life. And so that is why it is such an honor and a privilege for me to be able to speak with you guys today. So like Jared said, we're continuing the Grow Up series, and I love that verse about continuing to live in him, rooted and built up, because I think as we continue to grow, we realize how blessed we are, and we just overflow with thankfulness and overflow with gratefulness. So we all need to continue to grow. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." So we grow through all of these ways that we've talked about in this series, through Bible reading, through prayer, through obedience. And just a little side note, for those of you who might not be aware, who are parents, I stick with the same sermon series usually that Jarvis is doing. So we've talked about growing up, and we've talked about worship, and we've talked about prayer. So this is just one way that I'm able to partner with you guys as parents, so that when you go home, you guys can talk about it, because you're learning the same exact thing. So you might be thinking, wow, I'm not a parent. This message is not for me today. But let me just tell you something. Every single person in this room has someone that as we're growing, you can pour into. My parents had a huge spiritual impact on my life, but without the influence of other adults in my life and speaking into me, I wouldn't be where I am today. So if you're growing, you're in the perfect position to pour into someone else, whether that's your kids or whether that's someone that God has placed in your life. So don't be afraid to ask the Lord, who do you want me to pour into and who do you want me to invest in? So parents must take on the responsibility of being the greatest role model in their child's life. Parents, it's your primary responsibility. And I think so many times we get this backwards because we don't think we're capable or we don't think we're adequate enough to be that role model. So we bring our kid to church and we think that that is simply enough. But it's not. If you think about how many weeks are in a year, there are 52 weeks in a year. And so at the best, I have your kids, if they come every single Sunday, 52 hours a year, right? Compared to the thousands of hours that you have with them every single year. So yes, you need to bring them to church. And yes, you need to make that a priority because I can partner alongside with you. But you must take on that role of being the spiritual role model in your child's life. And the Bible tells us that in Proverbs 4, verse 6, and it will be up on the screen. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So bringing faith to life in your home is a great privilege. And your life does not have to be perfect to pass on a faith-filled life to your kids. I want you guys to get that. You do not have to have a perfect life to pass on a faith-filled life to your kids. Because if you're growing and you're learning and you're reading God's word, you are in the perfect position to train up your child in the way they should go. Your fear and your uncertainty can show them God's grace and mercy. Your mistakes can teach them forgiveness. Your strengths can shine a spotlight on God's blessings and gifts. Your daily ordinary tasks can become extraordinary opportunities to reach the hearts of your children. Your mistakes, God can use those. You do not have to be perfect. We're all going to mess up. But it's in those moments that we mess up and in those moments that we make those mistakes when you go to your child and you apologize and you ask them for forgiveness, you're teaching them what it looks like to mess up. You're teaching them about forgiveness. You're teaching them about God's grace. So you're not going to get it perfect, and that's okay. Don't let fear stop you from doing something. So every parent, you guys, feels ill-equipped and inadequate and underprepared to raise their child to be Christ followers. But don't let fear stop you. James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, ask God. God will give you wisdom in leading your child. And here's the really cool thing. God loves your kids more than you ever could. And as I was thinking about that statement this week, I was really thinking that I think there's some people in here that just need to know that, because God loves you more than a parent could ever love their child. Now, I'm not a parent, and I don't know what it feels like to be a parent, but I have some kids in my life that I love a lot. I love your guys' kids back there a lot. So I just can only imagine that love that a parent feels for their child. But God's love is more perfect, and God's love is unending. It doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you more than any parent loves their child. And God loves your children more than you ever will. So one of the greatest ways is really simple to pass on your faith to your child, and that is through modeling. Because whether we like it or not, we are painting a picture of faith for our children every single day. Every word that we speak, every action, every reaction is a brushstroke. And don't let that scare you, because like I said, you do not have to be perfect. We all make mistakes. But you simply just need to be intentional. Let those everyday normal tasks become moments where you're watching your kid learn and you're watching your kid grow and you're making those teachable moments. As a kid, a great example of this is my greatest thing that I think that I have learned from my parents is nothing that they have said to me, but just by watching them. So every day I would watch my parents when I was awake. The first thing they would do every morning is that they would get out their Bible and they would spend time in prayer. And I would see that from a young child, and I would see that as we went on vacations. And because my parents made that a priority, I made that a priority from a young age. So let your kids see you reading God's word. Let your kids see you praying, because what you make a priority, they will make a priority in their life as well. So Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says, "These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." You guys, this is truly simplifying discipleship for you. It's making it easy. You can make drive time, bedtime, meal times, all these times when you talk about God. And it doesn't have to be awkward. It doesn't have to be anything huge. Maybe you're driving in a car and you see a rainbow. You'd be like, wow, that rainbow reminds me that God keeps his promises. Or you just see the beauty of God's creation and you can just simply say, isn't it amazing that God created all of this? Or isn't it amazing that God created seasons for us? It can be so simple and so natural without making it awkward. So walk out your faith in front of your kids. They need to see you growing in the ways that we've talked about throughout this series, because more is caught than taught. So make serving a priority. Make praying a priority. Make giving a priority, because your priorities will become your kids' priorities. So just as you need to model for your kids what it looks like to be a Christ follower, you also need to pray for your kids and with your kids. Philippians 4:6-7, which will be up on the screen, says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So the Bible tells us to bring all of our requests to God. And we live in a world that can be really scary. When you think about your kids going to school, or you think about them going different places, it's scary. But you can't let your fear keep your kids from stepping out in something that God has for them. So bring those worries, bring those cares, bring those requests to God. Because remember that God loves your children more than you ever could. So take your worries and your fears and your requests to God and trust him with your kids. And prayer is powerful, you guys. There is nothing that our kids need more in this world than the presence of Christ in their life. Therefore, the most important thing you can do as parents is to bathe your children in prayer. Prayer changes things. Make it a priority to pray for them every single day. Pray for their protection. Pray that God would be with them. Pray just every worry, bring it to God. Pray for them because God loves them. A great example of this in my life is watching my mom. My sister, for those of you who don't know, is a missionary in Africa. She works with Somalis, and she is in a lot of dangerous situations. And my mom just has to trust God with her daughter. She has to trust that he is watching over her and he is protecting her. And she couldn't let her fear stop my sister from doing what God called her to do. Because my sister was called at 14. She was 14 years old when God called her to be a missionary. So ever since then, she took mission trips and she went on all these places. And my mom just had to trust the Lord and pray for her protection every day. And prayer is powerful. One day, my sister and her team were going to go to the mall because they had a free day. And they were getting ready to go. They were on their way. And a girl on my sister's team ended up getting, like, suddenly sick. And she was throwing up. And they're like, "We can't go to the mall." And she was the one who wanted to go to the mall. So the team said, "We'll stay back with you." And my mom had prayed for her protection, like, every day. And it was found out later that God woke up someone in the middle of the night from my home church to pray for my sister's protection. And that day that they didn't go to the mall, there were shootings and there were bombings that they targeted Christians. So who knows what would have happened if there wouldn't have been prayer involved and if they would have went to the mall. So trust God with your kids and pray for your kids. But just as you need to pray for your kids, you also need to pray with your kids. You need to pray with them at bedtime, pray with them at meals, pray before school, pray before you travel. This is something that we always did growing up. We would pray before we got in the car and traveled. We would pray before meals. We would pray before bedtime. And if you make these times of prayer a priority, when they're scared or when they have a test or all of these different things, your children will later on in life, prayer will be their first reaction in every situation. So make it a priority to pray with your kids. When they're worried about something, say, let's stop and pray about this, because we serve a good and a powerful God who can take care of this. So make prayer a priority. So just as we need to model our faith for our kids, we need to pray for and with our kids. We also need to teach our kids God's word. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." God's word is powerful. So just as you guys need to be reading God's word in order to grow, your children need to be reading God's word in order to grow. Psalms 19:9 says, "How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word." So in order to live according to God's word, we have to know God's word, and your kids have to know God's word. So read the Bible with your kids every single day. For younger kids, there are storybook Bibles that you can read them, and you can pull out the attributes of God from those stories, and you can pull out the awe and the wonder of who God is. Like Moses walking on dry ground when the sea was parted and the water was on each side. You can get excited about that and show your kids how awesome our God is. And as our kids get older, help them pick out a reading plan. Help them find ways to read God's word on their own, because as a parent then, you can take on the role of a coach, and you can allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your kids through God's word. So you can take on the role of a coach and ask questions. Maybe ask, what is the best thing you read in the Bible this week? What is something you didn't understand? What is something you want to know more about? What is he telling you? What is one thing you can change based off of what you read? And make these questions natural, not forced, and be willing to share as well. Be open with your kids. Share with them what God is speaking to you. Let them see that. Because if you want to see your kids transformed by the power of God's word, then they need to see it working in you, truly affecting the course of your life and the decisions you make daily. So talk about it around the table. Bring it up in the car. Casually drop it into conversations with others. Help your children see clearly how God's voice and his word affect every area of your life. Because as parents, you are working alongside the Holy Spirit to teach your kids about God and his kingdom. And trust God to complete their inner transformation, because he loves your kids more than you ever will.
Isn't that amazing? And I think as parents, I love what Stacey was saying. Like, listen, you don't need to be perfect. You don't have to have it figured out. Listen, people in this room, you struggle with doubt. Like, fear comes in. But here's what I'm telling you. Sometimes when we are parents and we have fear, we put those fears on our kids. And sometimes that worry that we have about everything, those kids take on, like, what is more caught than taught. You may tell your kids, don't worry, but if you're the one worrying, if you're the one living in fear, it starts being this way. And I just want to, we're going to wrap this thing up, and that was, Stacey, thank you for sharing. That was awesome. I'm just going to say two things, and as parents, and this I'm going to say. Number one, just pay attention. Model paying attention. I think this is really interesting. My best friend John DeGroote would say this. He says, wherever you are, this is very deep, so listen to this. Wherever you are, be there. Isn't that good? But what he's saying is be present. Because here's what begins to happen. Let me give you a bit of irony here. Here's my bit of irony. As parents, as leaders, as people, we're always telling people, pay attention, listen to me, right? Is this one of the most biggest mantras that we're saying? Like, listen, listen to what I have to say, pay attention. Yet, we are the ones who live life like this. Now, check this out. If more is caught than taught, am I paying more attention to my kids and what they're saying and more paying attention to what's going on in my Facebook feed? And the reason I say this is because even, look, I'm calling somebody right now. This is awesome. I don't know who that is. So anyway, hope. What's amazing about it is I'm not saying your cell phone is bad and you should just chuck it and get rid of it. But there is a point, listen, that we can miss what's next to us because we're so focused on a little device that's in front of us. And I'm saying that we just got to be aware. I think we just got to give attention. Sometimes I feel what happens is that we give attention to the wrong things. For instance, here's a simple antidote for you. Whatever you say, so we're going to say yes or no to something. Someone's going to ask you. Someone's always looking for your time, your energy, money or something. So someone's asking you for something. I'm telling you as a leader and as a parent and as a person, even as a company, whatever it is, I'm telling you something. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Number one, let your yes be consistent. If you say, yes, we're going to do this, then do it. If you're no, then no. I'm telling you, stick next to your guns. But also, make sure what you're saying yes to is more important than what you're saying no to. Now listen, if all of a sudden I'm hanging with my kids and my cell phone rings and all of a sudden I look at it and I see who it is, I'm telling you, if I'm in a meeting right now with, and I go for coffee, we're hanging out, and I'm meeting with Dan, and all of a sudden, we're having a conversation, and my phone rings, I say, hold on a second, Dan, I got this, hold on, okay, talk for a few minutes, come back from, okay, go ahead, sorry, Dan, oh, yeah, hold on a second, my phone's ringing again, sorry, Dan, here's what I'm telling Dan. I am telling Dan that this, whoever's on the phone, is more important than you. I'm saying yes to this, and I'm saying no to this conversation. What I'm teaching Dan is, whoever's on the phone is more important than him. If it's my wife, she is more important than Dan. Right? But what I'm saying is, listen, are you teaching your kids, listen, that this is more important than this? And I feel like this is what's hard, because do your kids know that they are important? Does your kids know that they are important in their lives? So, my phone just went off. Isn't that funny? How great irony is that? It's interesting because they're giving the best. And the last one is this, just create space. But I'm telling you, in the busyness, sorry, before you go to the next one, I just want to say this. I heard this a few weeks ago, and I want to say this. We live in a society where we almost congratulate each other on being so busy. We almost say, we almost use it as a notch, saying, how's your week? Oh, just so busy. I've just been nuts. And I say it too. Listen, I'm subject to it too. But here's what I get a little nervous about with my kids and with my family. I don't want it to get so busy that we become barren. I don't want to be so busy with our life that I have nothing left to give, and my kids think that being busy is the best thing for us. Now, listen, life is just busy. You got sports, you got stuff going on, you got work, you got all that stuff. But it would be a shame if your kids are in all these sports and so busy, but yet in their own personal life, they don't feel love, they don't feel acceptance, they feel, you know what I'm saying, they don't feel, like Stacy was saying, they don't know the love of the Lord, you know what I'm saying, and they feel barren. Listen, I don't want my kids to be stunted in growth because of busyness. Is that making sense? And so last one is this, and not only do we need to walk it out, but we have to talk it out, and I love that Stacy said this. And when you were sharing, you said, as parents, we need to pray with our kids, and we need to share our faith with our kids. This is vital. This is so vital because I believe as parents, one of the best things we can do. Now, when I say this, I'm going to just say, you don't have to be honest about everything in your life. You don't need to share, hey, guess what? Guess what I messed up on yesterday, Sawyer? Everyone hear my story? But there is something about saying, I'm telling you, some of the most precious moments is maybe a few months ago, I overreacted about something. I overreacted to Sawyer about something, and I felt so bad that I went upstairs, and he was crying, and I got down my knee, and I said, buddy, I'm so sorry. I should have listened to you. I shouldn't have just jumped on your side right away. It probably was your sister's fault, right? And he's like, yeah, it was. Of course, it's always their fault. But But I said, listen, my attitude, how I reacted to you was not good, and I'm really sorry. Do you forgive me? And he gave me the biggest hug, and it changed. Now, listen, I want to be vulnerable enough to know I'm not perfect as a dad. I'm learning. I feel like just as your kids, some of you have child dedication day, you have little babies. As your kids grow up, we grow up. You learn as you go. Nobody starts knowing all the things. You kind of learn as you go. But there's something special about growing up and just learning to be a parent and surrendering to the Lord. But we have got to, listen to me, we have got to share our faith with our kids. We've got to learn to talk it out. Here's what we have to get to the point of making our Christianity feel awkward. If your faith is that important, then why does it feel awkward talking about it with the people you love the most? Now, I understand that some of it could just be culture. Some of it could be like we've never done in my household. In my household, even though I hated it as a kid a lot, sometimes I loved it. Before I ran out, also my mom said, prayer time, we all hold hands and we all get in a circle and we all pray. My mom and dad would pray for all of us kids before. And I just wanted to get on a bus or go down. I'm like, let's pray. And I'm telling you, it's so special. When I go to Lake Elmo School and I have my kids in carpool lane, last week, I believe it was last Wednesday, first day back to school, last Wednesday, I'm sitting behind his truck. He had a Christian symbol of a different church on his window. And we just got done praying. I just got done praying for my kids in the car. And I looked up, and I saw this dad lean over, and he was cuddled with the kids in his front seat. And all of a sudden, Sawyer looked up, and he says, look at Dad, that is another dad that prays for his kids. And I said, that is amazing. Not only do they see it in me, but to Sawyer, it's becoming a normal thing. Another dad prays for his kids. Another dad prays for his kids. Listen. I just want us to make Jesus and the presence of the Lord a normal thing in our household. I love the verse that says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24 and 15, as for me and my house. This is a declaration saying, as for me, I'm not going to wait for anybody else, but as for us as parents, for grandparents, as aunt, uncles, in our house, this is a household of faith. Before we even complain, before we even begin to worry and doubt, before we even begin to start becoming bickering, we're going to pray this thing through. We're going to pray as a family. We're going to pray as parents. We're going to pray, and we're going to lift this up. Something going on at school, I may not have the answers, but let's pray to the Lord. You're having trouble? Let's pray. Let's pray before we do. I don't know what it is. Let's just pray. As we just need to become people who make it non-awkward. Some of your kids, listen, need to know your spiritual journey. Side note, they might not even know all of it, but they need to know some of it. They might need to know, hey, listen, I doubted, I had fears, it's not easy for me. But you know what I'm saying? Especially as they grow up in the teenage years, they need to know from you what that means. Ask questions as they're dealing with their faith, as they're growing. You know what I'm saying? We're all walking through this journey. Amen? Let's all stand up this morning. I love what Stacy said, too, about her parents. My parents are the same way. My parents are awesome. And church was a priority. Life was, Jesus was a priority. I'm not a Christian today because someone really explained the nuts and bolts of Christianity to me. It's because somebody became the nuts and bolts of Christianity to me. That's why I'm here today. I'm here today because somebody in my life, people in my life, not just one of but many people. You can ask me right now how many grandparents I have. I've had grandma die, and I have a grandpa died, and I've had people die in my life who are grandparents. I have hundreds of grandparents. I have people in my life. You can ask my mom and dad. When I was in fourth grade and third grade, I had this old couple in our church that always sat in the back row, and he could never hear. And for some odd reason, they loved me. I don't know why. They loved me. Maybe because they couldn't hear me. I don't know what it was. But you can ask my parents. They sat by the sound booth, and every time I walked in there, they gave me a hug. They became my grandparents. I would go sit with them almost every Sunday night at church. I would play with my toys, and they would pat me on the head. And I don't remember one thing spiritually about them, but I think about them every once in a while. I won't ever forget this little old lady. I'm going to close with the story. When we were in Brainerd, Minnesota, coming here, we announced to the church that we're leaving our last Sunday there. We were leaving, and it was an emotional Sunday. We were there for 7 years, and we knew we were going to be in Stillwater, and all of a sudden we're leaving, and my wife and I were at the front, and people were coming to say goodbye, and saying people were crying, and we're crying, and I will never forget one of these ladies in our church who adopted me. She was one of those old ladies that was so old, she wouldn't walk, she would shuffle, right? And then she kind of walk hunched over a little bit, and she was just older. She made the best caramel rolls I've ever had. And she came up to the front, her name was Ruth Speed. And she walked up the front, and she grabbed my hands, like an old saint does, just grabbed my hands. She looked me in the eyes, and this is what she said. She says, "I don't know why I'm still alive." She goes, "I lost my husband. I lost all my brothers and sisters. I'm the last one left in my family." She goes, "I don't know why I'm still here. But I kind of think the reason I'm still here is to pray for you and your wife and kids." She says, "I pray for you every day. I lift you up every day. And I'll continue to pray for you because one of my missions is to make sure you're prayed over." Dude, I'm just telling you. You could have gave me $1 million that day, and I would have said no just for that. Because what that little old lady did is it just said, "I'm going to give you my time, my energy. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to be your support." That does something to a person. We walked out of that church. I felt so strong because I'm like, we're not alone. You know what your kids need to know? They need to know that the biggest prayer warriors they have in their life is grandparents and parents who are going to pray for them more than anybody else's. What your grandkids need is people saying, "I love you no matter what. I'm going to lift you up in prayer."